Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to this week's Irate Tireless Minority, and I hope I sound all right and that I'm not slurring my words because the anesthetic hasn't worn off. I broke a tooth last night and had to have it fixed this morning. So if I sound a little slurry, I haven't been drinking alcoholic beverages, just got a little bit of numbness yet in one of my lips. So I'm going to start right off. I'm going in a little bit different direction today than I usually might. I'm going to start off with Eagle Forum. And there has been an attempted hostile takeover of Eagle Forum. And for those who, for whom it does not spark an immediate recognition, the head of Eagle Forum and founder of Eagle Forum is Phyllis Schlafly. And she is 91 years old. She rose to prominence during the fight over the ERA. For those of you who are younger than me, which is a goodly number of you, you millennials and stuff, the ERA is the Equal Rights Amendment. And the Equal Rights Amendment, well, it was meant to, what they sold it as was equal pay for equal work for women, blah, blah, blah. It said, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. And it was introduced originally in 1923. But because of some of the egregious nature of what it would do to the family, it was pretty much mothballed for 50 years. All those Congresses had the good judgment to leave the ERA buried in committee. And if you want the history, short history of that, look up a short history of ERA on eagleforum.org. If you go to www.eagleforum.org and look up a short history of ERA, you will find it there. And she doesn't, in this report, Ms. Schlafly does not make a big deal about her role in fighting the ERA, but she had a huge role in fighting the ERA. And many of the things that the ERA would have accomplished are being accomplished right now on our watch, which is not a good thing. It is fine and dandy to say, oh, women should be treated equally. So we should. And so should people of all races and all religions. You should treat them equally and with respect to who and what they are, because every individual is unique and valuable. However, that does not mean that you get to just throw a sameness blanket over everybody and declare everybody is the same. Men are not women. Women are not men. People from different cultures do things within their cultural mores and values and ethics, and you respect that. And you expect them to do so. That's the standard to which they ought to be held, along with obeying the laws of the land. But anyway, the ERA The big problems with it were that it would have removed protections for women under the law that existed, and it would have enshrined in the law the right to abortion, which is no right at all because it violates the right to life, which is a basic prerequisite. And again, as I've said before, the debate about when life begins should be over now. It should be over now because we have people alive and living their lives today who never spent a single day, much less a single second, in the womb of their biological mother. How is that possible? Because an egg was taken from the biological mother and mixed with sperm in a petri dish outside of the biological mother and became an embryo, which then, for one reason or another, was not put back into that biological mother. Maybe it was frozen because it was an extra or something, but we end up often, when people are going through fertility treatments, with extra embryos. And nowadays what they do is they just implant them all and hope that most of them die. And but what you can also do is you can just go one at a time and valuing each one for the intrinsically valuable, unique human being that it is. But, you know, sometimes something happens with a couple. They get divorced or whatever, and then who gets the embryo? It's your child. You know it's your child. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a business to freeze and preserve it. And what happens a lot of the time is that these embryos are offered up for adoption. And adoptive parents who cannot conceive their own children or who for some other reason cannot have their own children, they adopt these embryos. They have them implanted. The woman brings them to term. This is not the biological mother. And that child is born. So clearly, that embryo, once conception has taken place, that's a new person with a new and unique DNA signature. If you found that egg at the scene of a crime, that DNA signature would be unique to that individual. That is a person. That debate should be over. We know when life begins. Now stop it. So, anyway, and it would have confused the use of the word sex to do a lot of things that are currently being done for homosexuals, like that egregious Supreme Court decision and the one before it, although that doesn't involve the word sex, it involved the word state, where the Supreme Court gets to play dice with the laws of the land and the rule of law itself by redefining words that have known meanings in the law. See, if you write a law and then somebody gets to change the definition of the words you used later, what good is it to write a law? It does no good at all because it's subject to manipulation then. Words used in the law must mean and must be held to mean in perpetuity what they meant when they were written. Otherwise, you have confounded and destroyed the rule of law, which is what the Supreme Court has done. But anyway, Phyllis Schlafly was key in organizing the country to work against the ERA because it was damaging to the family unit. And if you damage the family unit, you damage the nation. And that's where we are right now. We are damaging the nation and the family unit. And now Eagle Forum, which has stood strong for the family for all these years, now they are the people who Ms. Schlafly put in charge of Eagle Forum, Mrs. Schlafly, I should say, are trying to take it over and oust her from the financial arm. And I've got a link in the description of the show to a Breitbart article that goes over all the permutations of that. And what I find truly, truly appalling and why this is in the politics section is because the people who are attempting to oust Mrs. Schlafly, including her own daughter, one of her own children, is doing this and saying that maybe she's not mentally sound enough to do things anymore. Well, she's showing them she is and kicking them out, firing them, basically. But the thing is that the reason this came up is because of this presidential election and because of the bile and vitriol that is going on between the supporters of Mr. Cruz and the supporters of Mr. Trump. Ms. Schlafly was kind of forced into an endorsement for Mr. Trump, an endorsement of sorts. But that wasn't good for Mr. Cruz. Apparently her daughter and some of these other people who are in charge of various parts of Eagle Forum were Cruz supporters. And they did just nasty things to try and, first of all, convince her to withdraw her semi-endorsement for Trump and give an endorsement to Mr. Cruz. And when she wouldn't, they attempted to take over the foundation, Eagle Forum. And in order to do that, they leaked emails, engaged in personal attacks, advanced an argument questioning whether she's still competent enough to run the organization. And now several board members of one wing of the tripartite Eagle Forum organization have for the first time in more than four decades of existence that came into being because of Mrs. Schlafly, called together a special board meeting at which they purported to have voted to remove Schlafly's handpicked successor as president of the organization and claimed to have seized control of the organization and its bank accounts from the longtime activists. And there's a whole bunch of details in this Breitbart article which are fascinating to read if you want to learn how hostile takeovers are done and how the vigilant can avoid having it happen. But the bottom line is this. This woman is a paragon of defense for the family and Christian values. She is absolutely a solid, staunch supporter of the values that made this country great, and the values that can make any country great should they adopt them. And those are the values, ethics, and morals of Christianity. But this woman who built this organization, who stopped the ERA, it could be argued that she did because she took it on herself to organize people, organize housewives in little coffee clubs all across the nation to oppose the ERA in order to support families. This woman is being attacked by her own family because of one stupid little presidential election. Oh, this is the most important election you'll ever vote in your life. No, it's not. The system was designed to keep us from suffering too much under stupidity of people we might elect. The system was designed to not allow too much damage to be done if the people are vigilant. Your vote doesn't matter a bit in this election. It doesn't matter who is president if the people were doing what they ought. You know, that means the Secret Service. If you're looking at that guy that you're protecting and saying he's not eligible to the office legally, you're not supposed to keep protecting him. You're supposed to step down. You know why Hillary shouldn't be elected? Not just because she's a criminal, not just because she had a hand in Benghazi, not just because she has been a criminal and a liar, but because the FBI, the head of the FBI, has apparently said, I heard from Mr. Whittle, has apparently said that if she gets elected, he can't do his job. There are some indications that a lot of the FBI won't do their jobs anymore. And while I question the necessity for the agencies of the FBI and the CIA, that's the right thing for them to be doing. If you are working for someone who shouldn't be in office and you know it, that's your individual duty as a citizen of this nation to stop working there. Your job is not a prison. You can go and find another job. You're supposed to do the right thing. You're supposed to be informed enough to do the right thing. Sadly, too many of our millennials are not. They've been raised by hippies and educated by hippies who are thinking socialism is good while ignoring the premise that all men, it's resting on a premise that all men are good and all men are not good. But here we are. We are destroying this woman's family relationships. We are destroying this paragon of America. We are destroying this paragon of conservatism, or allowing that to, we're allowing that edifice of conservatism to be distracted because of this stupid vitriol in this presidential election. Okay? Y'all know that I think Ted Cruz is not eligible because he's not constitutionally eligible. And those who are his fans want to just gloss over that the same way Mr. Obama's fans wanted to do. Take a lesson from that, folks. Wake up. And Mrs. Schlafly has not weighed in on the eligibility of Mr. Cruz, let me tell you. But the Department of Dirty Tricks, I don't know who's playing the more dirty tricks. But I don't trust any of them. But the point is that we're not supposed to be damaged by 4 years of one person. We the people are supposed to be standing up and refusing to go along with it. Insurers, you're not supposed to be complying with Obamacare because it's wrong and unconstitutional. You are the final arbiter of what happens in this country by refusing to comply with anything that is unconstitutional. Okay, I'm going on a rant, and I'm not supposed to be doing that because I'm still recovering from vocal cord surgery, so I'm going to have to leave this one here and move on to religion. Kel Fritzy over at Infidels Are Watching last night had Vlad Tepes on for their monthly roundup, and he has a blog. And I have linked to a blog, this particular blog, in the religion section of the show description. Germans have to go to a Swiss paper to get their ad published. Why? Because the German papers wouldn't publish it. And it's an ad that shows Angela Merkel playing a shell game with cups marked with the Islamic emblem, people under one, money under another. And it's half-page advertisement, cost them about $16,000, this group. Merkel still cheating on. How long will this continue? They criticize her sharply. She's portrayed as a smiling hat player while she's playing a shell game. And that the translator's note says this type of play is illegal in Germany, so you're not supposed to be allowed to do that. But it's not aimed at a Swiss audience, even though it was published in a Swiss paper, but at a German audience because a lot of Germans read this particular paper. Merkel cheats on. For how long? This is how the sham looks. With the EU-Turkey Treaty, Chancellor Merkel tries to convince us that she has got the mass immigration into Germany under control, but the facts show the Turkey Treaty is a sleight of hand. For every illegal Syrian refugee who is sent back from the EU into Turkey, a recognized Syrian refugee can enter the EU. And therefore, Germany, as most EU countries, do not accept unlimited quantities of refugees. So, basically, this Turkey says that for everyone that they send back, because they're illegal, into Turkey, Turkey gets to send somebody who's legal into Germany. And it's Germany because the other countries aren't that stupid. For this rechristening, EU citizens have to pay 20 million euros per month. As a thank you for taking them back, Turkey pulled the EU over a barrel and achieved visa freedom for Turkish citizens at the at the latest end of this year. More than 74 million Turks can come to Germany without any visa at all. The consequences? Bavarian Minister of Finance Söder warns of a Kurdish mass immigration. And the renowned criminologist Christian Pfeiffer calls this treaty a monumental stupidity because the freedom of travel could start a wave of illegal mass immigration. And for this monumental stupidity, the EU taxpayers have to wire 6 billion euro to Turkey until the end of 2018, to a country that tramples human rights, freedom of opinion, and freedom of the press under their feet. And then they ask people to sign an appeal against the Merkelian welcome culture. And that's the end of the ad. And the reason they had to print it in a Swiss magazine is because, except for the Hannoversche Zeitung, sorry for the pronunciation, all large newspapers in Germany refused to print this ad. You know, that's what government has gotten good at, and that's why I titled this show Nobody Wins a Shell Game. And I'm going to move on before I address that. You know, because you take with one hand, you give with the other. But in a shell game, you never end up winning. It could be said that the guy who's running the shell game wins because he gets money, but he doesn't win. He doesn't win because he is damaging himself because he knows he's cheating people. And that damages people. You got to be damaged to do it, and it damages you more every time you do. On a psychic and spiritual level, on an emotional, psychological, and spiritual level, it damages you to cheat other people. Moving on to doing what's right, I have remember as we go forward into whatever this election brings that not everything is on the internet. Did you know that's true? You can't find everything on the internet. You want real information? It's getting just as hard to find on the internet as it ever was in books. If you want books that contain real information, those books are expensive. They're hard to come by. You want a book on Photoshop? I just picked up a book on Adobe Photoshop 5, a program I do not currently own. But because I hope at some point, you know, to maybe pick up a used copy that I can get the license transferred from. That book originally was like $50 because it contains real information that people want. Oh, you could look it all up on the internet. Well, maybe I could, but this is a huge, thick book, and Photoshop is a huge, huge program. Not everything is on the internet, and you need to remember that sometimes it is best to go to primary sources. When you're taught in journalism school, although I didn't go to journalism school, this is just what my teachers told me in history class, primary source is best. That means somebody who is there who witnessed whatever it is you're reporting on. If there are no primary sources left, they all died. There's no video because, you know, things in the past didn't have video. Got some guy telling me he's posted a picture of Jesus online. I'm like, excuse me, that is not Jesus. We don't have any pictures of Jesus. That is Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars. No, it's not. Yes, it is. I mean, really, people? Or maybe I'm missing a joke because I'm just not in the right frame of mind. But the thing is, primary source is best. Secondary source would be newspapers that were written at the time. But having been interviewed for newspapers on multiple occasions, well, actually my son was and partly me, they don't get it right often. I've never had a single one where there wasn't at least one glaring mistake. So primary sources are best for a reason. But even then, secondary sources would be newspapers, the written word, books. And remember, not everything is on the internet, and what is on the internet is shaped by those who put it there and those who have the power to remove or change what is available. I don't know how many of you are remembering all of the perfidies of the Obama administration, but a lot of his early administration involved wiping the internet clean of anything that made him look bad. Leo D'Onofrio, or I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, is one of the attorneys who worked really, really hard to try and get Mr. Obama removed because he was not and is not eligible to serve as president. He's not a natural-born citizen. And he found, when he was searching online, that parts of court cases like Marbury versus Madison in the official archives on the internet did not contain the entire text that's written in the law books in the library. You have to go back to the library to get the whole thing because somebody's been sanitizing it. You can't find everything on the internet. And not only that, you will also remember Mr. Obama's attempts to get his speeches made into mandatory curriculum. And I hope you will remember the NEA grants propaganda thing, where the National Endowment for the Arts. I have a link to an article in Human Events from February of 2010. And it's amazing when you're trying to look these things up. You try looking up Obama wipes the internet, or Obama sanitizes the internet, or Obama administration removes things from the internet, and you'll be surprised at how nothing shows up. Totally unrelated articles show up on a Google search. It's amazing. Really, really quite disturbing. But this is talking about, it's amazing how quickly artists' fear of government censorship evaporates when a candidate they support takes office. In the late 80s and 90s, the arts community vigorously protested when conservatives questioned whether the National Endowment for the Arts should fund artworks that many considered acts of blasphemy, obscenity, and pornography. And I'm not going to go over what those were because why? The NEA survived by eliminating potentially controversial grants to individual artists. Instead, it channeled more money to state arts agencies that supported popular school and community projects in music, folk arts, and museum preservation programs. The Obama administration is moving rapidly to increase next year's federal funding for the NEA. The administration began its pitch early this year. Now, this is from 2010, remember. By arguing that increased arts funding was necessary to stimulate the economy and help artists and art institutions recover from the recession. And as soon as $50 million in arts funding was included in the stimulus package, arts lobbyists went looking for even more money. However, the NEA and its backers took a disturbing step beyond funding its constituency group. Blah, the lips are not behaving. They have been eager to promote government involvement in setting the arts agenda, especially in creating art that promotes the Obama administration. You remember that? He organized a meeting, hand-picked group of 75 artists, producers, promoters, organizers, influencers, marketers, tastemakers, and encouraged them to think about ways to create arts-focused projects to support the president's policies in four areas: healthcare, environment and energy, education, and community service. And they jumped at it. They leaped at the opportunity to subvert their art to support Obama. In a shell game, nobody wins. And that's what this is. It's a shell game. It's a shell game. It's a shell game for the immigrant situation in Germany to fool people. It's a shell game in this propaganda and control of what's on the internet so that how we are informed depends on what goes on the internet and what stays there. And it's a shell game to try and remove Eagle Forum. We need Eagle Forum to be a guiding light, to be a light post. and this is wrong. We are all an irate, tireless minority of one, all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. You Trump supporters and Cruz supporters, knock it off. You're supposed to be on the same team. We can survive any president as long as we're doing the right thing.